Today's message is entitled, Honesty is the Best Policy, Being Honest All of the Time. And this is the fourth sermon in the series, The Road to Financial Freedom. And honesty comes into our lives not just in the area of finances and possessions, but every area of our lives. Now, if you're a thinking person, I'm sure you've asked yourself, or perhaps someone else, now tell me again, just why are they talking about money down at North Street Church? What do they want? Well, I have a reminder for you that the ultimate goal of this series is to bring blessing upon you and your family as each one of us aligns the stewardship of our life, the stewardship of our money and our possessions beneath the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, it brings blessings from God that otherwise we would not receive. This series is not simply about giving. In fact, one out of six messages will be about giving, and that's next week's message, which is entitled, Giving Back, Investing in Eternity. But this series is about God's principles for working, for earning, for spending, for saving, for investing, for giving, for getting out of debt, and teaching our children how to handle money and possessions. There's an inescapable verse in the Scripture, Matthew 6:21, something Jesus said. He said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Remember, He said this, "Find your treasure, and you'll find your heart." In other words, that checkbook and His book are much more related than we might want to admit. Now, beyond those reasons, I have a very personal reason to disseminate this information to you about the road to financial freedom, about being stewards of money and possession. And that personal reason comes from the Scripture. You see, as a preacher, in a sense, I am one of God's watchmen. And the Scripture teaches us that as a watchman, we must tell what we know to be true. And if we don't tell what we know to be true, then we're in trouble with God. And I don't want to be in trouble with God. So I have a very motivating verse as a preacher. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 33. Here's what it says. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, speak to your countrymen and say to them, when I bring the sword against the land, and the people of the land choose one of their men and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming against the land and blows the trumpet to warn the people, then if anyone hears the trumpet but does not take warning, the sword comes and takes his life, his blood will be on his own head. Since he heard the sound of the trumpet but did not take warning, his blood will be on his own head. If he had taken warning, he would have saved himself. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet and warn the people, and the sword comes and takes the life of one of them, that man will be taken away because of his sin, but I will hold the watchman accountable for his blood. Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel, so hear the word I speak and give them warning from me." And every time a man stands to proclaim the word of God, he, in a sense, is in that same role that says, "I must tell you what I know. And if I tell you what I know and you don't obey what I've told you, then in that sense your blood's upon your own hands. But if I don't tell you what I know, and you fall and stumble and lose eternal life, then in that sense your blood is upon my hands." So you see, that personal motivation I have is to pass the accountability of your personal obedience from me to you. What you do now, or what you do not do now, will not be determined by lack of knowledge. See, before you could have said, "Nobody ever told me. I didn't know." From now on, you see, you can't say, "That's the reason I didn't obey." So what you do will be motivated by faith and obedience, or what you do not do will be motivated by your own personal lack of faith and lack of obedience. Today's message, I think, is a hard-hitting message. It's about honesty in life and honesty with finances and possessions. I believe that God's Holy Spirit will work hard in our lives if we will just remain sensitive to what the Spirit is speaking. Remember in Romans 8, it says, "We did not receive a spirit of bondage, but we received a spirit of adoption. and that we cry out, Abba, Daddy, Father. And then it says in the Scripture that His Spirit testifies to our spirit that we are the children of God. And I want to say, when the words proclaim, you see, the preacher speaks. God takes those words, He lays them on the heart of every believer. That's how He wants. And so today, you will receive conviction, not from the preacher, but from the Word as carried into your life by the Holy Spirit. And I simply ask then, will you trust and obey? Now, I've said this message is about honesty. I've asked God already to penetrate the hearts of all of our lives, including the recesses of our lives, which are normally protected areas. Not only is this message about being honest all of the time, it's also about being against dishonesty all of the time. It is a message about truth. It's a message about respecting God or despising God. Here's a good verse, Proverbs 14:2. It says this, He who walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises him. And that says, if we live righteously on purpose, it's because we have awe for God. And if we choose to go about living how we've always lived, informed, but choosing to disobey, then we are perverse. And that means, in translation, that we despise God. And so as these truths about honesty and truthfulness are laid upon us, we need to decide then, will I fear the Lord or will I despise Him? So let's then get on with it and talk about being completely honest, about living according to truthfulness all of the time. First of all, I'd like you to understand that truthfulness is an attribute of God, and that it is transferable to His people. See, the Scripture would teach that He is absolute truth and holiness. He's made of one thing. You can be sure of this, there is no dishonesty in God. There is no deceit in God. There's no darkness in God. He's absolutely honest. All about truth, all of time, is nothing else, could be nothing else. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is absolute truth all of the time. He is God. And so we would see then that God Himself is all truth. He is all honesty. Now think of this. In Titus 1, verses 1 to 3, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness and hope of eternal life which God... Look at this attribute of God, who cannot lie. God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested His Word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. So realize it's a given. It's a secondary understanding to Paul in this circumstance when he speaks about God and simply says, God, who cannot lie? Now, if we are, you see, to be like God, how can we ever be dishonest in our lives? Whether it's with our children, whether it's with our friends, whether it's with our money and our possessions. It is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to be dishonest. It is impossible for Him to do anything but to be truthful and honest all of the time. He is pure. He is holy. He is dedicated to His own glory. There is nothing dark about God. There is nothing impure about God. There is nothing unlovely about God. Now understand, we are to be like Him. 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16 say this, But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. Now God has certain non-transferable attributes. Things like His immutability. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are not like that. things like His eternality. He has lived from the beginning to the ending, which never began or end. He is always. We are not like that. He has the attribute of sovereignty. He rules alone forever. We are not like that. But there are certain transferable attributes of God that we are to emulate, like His love. We are to be loving as He is loving. We are to be merciful as He is merciful. And one of those transferable attributes is His holiness. Absolute truth and honesty all of the time. That is a transferable attribute of God. We are to be like that. Quite the opposite. Quite the contrast to Satan. Here's what Jesus said about the devil in John 8:44. He says, "You to the Pharisees, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." Now look at this. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Do you see that? In the devil's life, in Satan's life, he's the opposite of God. God has only truth. The devil has no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. Do you realize that? The devil's library is full of lies. He only can lie. He's to deceive. He masquerades as light. And there is no light in him. There is no truth in him. He's a liar. From the beginning, and the father of it. Honesty, truthfulness is an attribute of God, and we are to be like Him. When we're not like God, who are we like? The devil, Satan. You see, one as his resources are all lies, and the other his resources are all truth, all honesty. So do we agree that God is honest all of the time, and we're to be like Him? Everybody agree to that? Okay, we've got the first point. Secondly, God established the standard of honesty for certain reasons. I want to share four truths about honesty versus dishonesty and what they prove and display to others about our relationship with God. The first one is this: our honesty validates our belief in God and His provision. And our dishonesty is evidence we don't really trust God. You see what I'm saying? If you think you can't be honest in the money you receive, in how you're paid, in how you file your taxes, if you can't be honest with your own wife about the money in your pocket or your own husband about what you charged, you see, it comes down to say, I've got to watch out for me because nobody's watching out for me. But if we are honest all of the time, we're saying, I don't have to watch out for me because my Father watches out for me. Proverbs 14:2, the verse we previously stated, says, he who walks in uprightness fears the Lord. See, a righteous businessman does business by the book because he trusts God, even if the government isn't exactly fair. You see, I think one of the greatest sins of our day that has brought condemnation upon our culture is our desire to care for the needy. And people find out what it takes to be needy, and they lie to make themselves, you know, get everything on the application right so that they can receive the funds. And there's many men in this culture who are on some form of disability, who are working under the table for cash. Never reported to the government, never counted as income. And you know what? Things are getting worse for them, not better. You know why? Because God can't bless dishonesty. And they think it's the only way I can make it. And I think we can take that example and apply it to our own lives. See, where are you watching out for yourself? Where is it that you're not trusting God, and not trusting God has led you to dishonesty? Another truth: our honesty is evidence that we really do love our neighbors as ourselves. Dishonesty is evidence that we think too highly of ourselves. Not only do we not trust God, but you know, we think on these horizontal relationships, I'm number one. I've got to watch out for me. Remember what Romans 13 says? It says, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And so if, you see, we are honest, we have a clear conscience. We have God's resources. We consider each other, you see, assets to one another, not liabilities to one another. And I don't have to think as much of me any longer. In fact, the Scripture would teach us to think of others first. And when we're absolutely full of truth and we're completely honest, people are no longer a threat to us. See, if I'm dishonest, then I wonder what you're getting that I'm not. And I wonder how I can get ahead. And I'm willing to do all kinds of crazy things, being dishonest, to be able to get ahead. Now, I see some guys agreeing with me, and I know that you've lived the other way before, haven't you? And you found out there's no blessing in dishonesty, but there's great blessing in honesty. Here's another truth. Our honesty establishes credibility for effective evangelism. Dishonesty harms our witness to others. And see, you might be, you know, just with a buddy going fishing. You're a Christian, he's not. You stop at the bait store, you know, you just get a few dozen worms, a couple lures, a few salmon eggs, whatever it might be. And you're not charged the right price. You know, the guy forgets to charge you for the eggs. You get in the truck laughing and say, man, oh man, we can fish today. We got a bargain. And you just think you had a ball. And the day you go to tell that man about Jesus Christ, you know what he's going to think of first? You're a dishonest man. And it affects your witness. And so listen, when you partner with somebody in dishonesty, don't expect them to believe you when you talk to them about the eternal things in life. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. One version says, as stars in the universe, holding fast the word of life, so that I might rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. You know what that says? There's no doubt that that whole world out there, the whole culture, is dishonest. It's crooked. It might be true your employer doesn't really care about you that much. He's looking at the bottom line. It might be true that, you know, the word they gave you didn't turn out to be the word they gave you, and you carrying those few things home every day seems justified in your mind. But guess what? You're only hurting your witness. It is not justifiable. And so it says that world is crooked and perverse. Who are you? You're a star shining brightly, holding fast the word of truth. You live it no matter what. Don't destroy your witness with dishonesty. Moms and dads, you know, getting our kids educated can be real expensive. You telling the truth on those forms when you fill them out? You see, you're only leading your kids down the wrong path to say, I never lie except. And when your kid goes to fill out a loan application somewhere and fudges his income or whatever it is, realize he got it from you. You're harming your witness anytime you're dishonest. And the fourth truth, honesty confirms God's direction in our lives. Dishonesty testifies we're looking out for ourselves. See, even when it's scary, even when I'm on the edge and I remain honest, that says I'm walking with God. Because I don't have to look out for my future. He's looking out for me. Proverbs 4, 24 to 27 says, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. I want to encourage you to be honest all of the time. God established certain standards of honesty for a reason. And I promise you, in that moment of dishonesty, it seems like it'll get me ahead. It's the thing I must do. I had a businessman tell me this one time. He said, the first year I was in business, I did everything by the book. And it cost me too much taxes. So from there on out, I did it my way. Of course, he's bankrupt and divorced today. And his life's a mess. Because he bought into a lower standard. And so you just be careful. Because I may never know. No one else may never know. But God knows, and you know, and God knows that you know. See, you can't say, I didn't know. He knows that you know. Now, how can we escape dishonesty? I'm fully convinced that many, many people in our culture live in a consistent lifestyle of dishonesty. It's the only way they save their hide, they think. So today you're saying, you got me scared, preacher. Hey, watchman, you're blowing the horn. I realize I need to do something. How can I escape dishonesty? First of all, submit to God's Holy Spirit. There's that war that goes on inside. You know, Paul speaks about it. He says, why do I do what I don't want to do? Why don't I do what I set out to do? You go back to the cartoons, at least the old cartoons, you know, there's an angel on this shoulder and a devilish figure on this shoulder, and one's whispering in one ear and one's whispering in the other. Life's sort of like that sometimes. And we need to listen to God's Holy Spirit whispering in our ear. You know, when you belong to Him and you struggle with what's right or wrong and you're tempted, it's not, as far as I know, ever that the Spirit quit speaking. I mean, we can do what we do to squelch the Spirit and to, you know, smother out the Spirit's voice. But, you know, down deep, we still know God's at work. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now look at lust. We don't want to just speak about sexual lust here, strong desire. It says, keep walking in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the strong desires of the flesh. For the flesh wars against the Spirit. See, the flesh has a strong desire against God's Holy Spirit. And the Spirit has a strong desire against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. And it could as rightly say, so that you do the things that are right. Let the Spirit rule. Let the Spirit reign. Quit worrying about your name, your history, how you've made it so far, and submit to God's Holy Spirit. Then, know this, understand that God does discipline His children. See, He's not a father who lets us run wild. If you're a Christian and you're being dishonesty, and today, dishonesty in your finances and your possessions, don't expect God's blessing financially. Expect God's discipline financially. Hebrews 12 says, God disciplines those whom He loves. He goes on to say, endure hardship as discipline. And I want you to understand that not all hardship is discipline. Look at Job's life. Hardship came, but that was the test of the devil in his life. But I do want to say this, when hardship comes, you better ask, is this God's discipline? And you'll know. And so realize if we are being dishonesty with how we earn money, how we spend money, how we give money, how we hide money, we can't expect God's blessing upon our finances. Instead, we can expect hardship to come. And there's many stories out there of people who had a big pile and were sitting on top of it, and in a moment, it was gone. Because God will not be mocked. And God cannot let it go. And we need to understand that His discipline is not just a whipping. His discipline is because He loves us, wants restoration, and says, you come and do it my way because you know that you should do it my way. And so as you think about earning, as you think about spending, as you think about investing, as you think about giving, as you think about teaching your children, all the things we want to teach in this, realize that God's discipline is involved in our honesty or dishonesty. Proverbs 16:6 says, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. So I simply want you to say, if you're standing in line of God's discipline, I think that it would be better if you just get a good healthy dose of the fear of God and say, starting today, I'm going to do it right. Now, how else can we escape dishonesty? Okay, we submit to the Spirit. We understand there could be discipline for us. Then I want you to think of this. Associate with honest people and stop associating with dishonest people. Now, for some, that might mean, I need to quit my job. I need to break that business partnership, and that's true. It could be very costly to get honest because some people operate on a level of dishonesty. But there's no blessing. There's only trouble. 1 Corinthians 15:33, a good verse for everybody. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. All the time. You run with all the wrong people, you're going to act like them. Their decisions are going to affect your name. See, that's the biggest warning about business partnerships. As you become, you know, legally bound to one another, what one partner decides affects the whole company, affects you as an individual. And so I simply want you to realize bad company corrupts good character, not just when you're a kid, but even when we're adults. I have some proverbs I'd like you to consider. They come from chapter 29. We'll take them one at a time. Verse 23 says, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. So you want to be brought low or you want to have honor in your life? The Scripture says, you see, it's a matter of pride versus humility. Concerning honesty, are you going to stick to your guns? See, do it the way you've always done it. Look good in everybody else's eyes. Look bad in God's eyes. Everybody thinks, man, you got the power. God says, I'm going to have to bring you low. The next verse, whoever is a partner with a thief hates his own life. He swears to tell the truth, but reveals nothing. See, that's sort of a taught thing and a caught thing. Do you ever realize, if you watch any criminal shows or you're involved with, you know, criminal kinds of people, they never tell you anything but what you ask. And they never tell you the whole thing, even when you ask. And I think that's become part of our culture, part of the way people function. And see, when you become a partner with a thief, you might as well just hold the gun to your head because it's just going to be a slow death. And they don't know how to tell the truth. And won't tell the truth. And then Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Now the fear of man doesn't mean that I'm afraid and I cower before people. But the fear of man can be too much respect for men. Too afraid to stand up for what's right in a group of guys is a trap. You see, we need to be honest all the time, even when it's not popular. And when we do that, we're not caught in a trap. You put your trust in the Lord, and what does it say? You'll be safe. And so we're talking some big decisions about getting honest. But you have to ask yourself, what's more valuable? Living in dishonesty so I can get through this life? Living honestly before the Lord that I can receive His blessing now and forever. And then lastly, I'd like to speak about getting right with God. Maybe you haven't lived the kind of life you should. Maybe you're not totally honest. And kids, that could go from just telling the truth to your parents, to what you have hidden in your room, to secret friendships, to moms and dads. It could be breaking off that business partnership. It could be confessing to your mate, I've not been honest with you. It could be, you know, going bankrupt. That honesty in finances could cause you to go bankrupt. And that would be better than living the lie. So here's what it could cost. Here's how you get right with God. Repentance and restitution. See, in some sins, all we do is turn around and walk away. In sins of dishonesty, not only is there a stopping of what has been wrong, but there's a making up for what has not been right. Being honest means, you see, somebody here, probably when they were a teenager, their first job, stole $20 out of the register, never got caught. But you still know that. And God still knows that. The right thing to do is you go see that employer. You take that $20 and a few dollars interest and you go make it right. See, it could be that simple. Or it could be the way you've done your taxes for the last 10 years that you call the accountant and say, you know what? We need to square that up. So there's repentance and there's restitution. Not just a turning from, but doing what is right. Now, I want you to get your Bibles. We want to look at two verses of Scripture. Getting right with God begins with restoring our fellowship with God. Go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 John is an epistle that was written to Christians. And John says in 1 John, you see, if we say we don't have sin, we're a liar. He says that to Christians. Christians mess up. 1 John 1 9 says this. If we confess our sins, Christians, if we confess our sins to God, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you've not been honest and you want to get honest and you're a believer, you go to God with the guarantee He's faithful. Every time He'll forgive you, and He's just. It's right for Him to do so. Now, if you're not a Christian and you've been dishonest and you're ready to be done with the whole world, then you come to Jesus for the first time, receiving Christ as your Savior, confessing and believing in your heart and being obedient as a Christian. But for Christians, it says, we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and the Word's not in us. And I simply want to say to you today, see, what are you going to do about the areas of dishonesty in your life? You're going to walk out the door and say, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Or are you going to say, it's not that bad? You're just going to suck it up. Or you're going to go to God and confess your sin. And He's faithful and just to forgive you. Now, do you know what that says? That says if everybody in this room in, you know, the next 2 minutes, if I stopped and everybody confessed their sin and God forgave everybody of everything again, that means we would have totally pure, clean Christians who could leave this room today just joyful because there's nothing that diminishes our relationship with God because there's no area of disobedience, no area of dishonesty. Now, we're not going to do that. I don't think 2 minutes is long enough, and I don't think everybody would do it at the same time. But that is to say, there's no reason every one of us, you see, can't restore our fellowship with God. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you're living a life of dishonesty, even a little bit, it's affecting the relationship you have with God, and you can't have a clear conscience. You can't have a pure heart. You don't have clean hands so long as you're holding on to the dishonesty. Because if you're holding on to the dishonesty, what did we learn early on? You despise God. You say, well, who are you to tell me I despise God? I didn't tell you that. The Word tells you that. Just like the Word says, look in your checkbook and you'll find out your real spiritual heart. I don't like that, do you? I'd rather look in this book. I'd like it if the Scripture says where your heart is, there your treasure is. Because I would say, my heart's with the gospel. My heart's with the needy. My heart's with kids. My heart's with missions. But look in your checkbook and you'll find out where your heart is. That's what Jesus said. The same here. If you don't have clean hands, if you don't have a pure heart, if you're not seeking after God, then, you see, it means you despise the Lord. It doesn't mean that you love the Lord. And then I want you to go back in the Old Testament to the book of Leviticus and chapter 6 and verse 4. And don't look at the wall. I put the wrong book. I put Deuteronomy when I wrote the outline. But it's Leviticus 6 and verse 4. And in Leviticus 6:4, the scripture speaks about somebody who has been dishonest, somebody who has sinned. It says, if he has sinned and has realized his guilt and will restore what he took by robbery or what he got by oppression or the deposit that was committed to him or the lost thing that he found or anything that he sworn falsely. See, it's complete honesty down to, you know, have you kept someone's deposit? Have you not kept your word? We need to be like Zacchaeus in Luke 19:8 that says, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Now Zacchaeus was a tax collector. The tax collector in those days didn't have a statement from the government, and if you didn't pay your taxes, he showed up, say, you want to pay this bill. He showed up at your door and says, here's how much you owe. And if he had to turn in, you know, $70 to the government to pay your tax bill, he could charge you $370 and put the $300 in his pocket. Tax collectors were known as dishonest men. And when he came to Christ, he said, I'll make that right. Give half away. And if there's any direct deceit, I'll restore fourfold. And I'm simply saying to you, what's the Spirit telling you to do? Get right with God. And I want you to understand there are blessings for the honest and curses for the dishonest. I have scriptures for all of these. I'm not going to present them, but I'll present the principles from the scripture. Honesty opens the door for a more intimate walk with the Lord. If you are honest, you will walk with the Lord in a different fashion than you do if you're dishonest. That makes perfect sense. See, there's times I know that people keep arm's distance from me because they don't want the preacher to know them intimately. They don't want me to know everything about them. And the same is true with our walk with the Lord. See, if we're not completely honest, if we're not walking in integrity and character, we're going to keep God at arm's distance. We're going to let Him know we love Him and we want to be saved and we want Him to bless us, but we don't want to reveal the recesses of our life. But complete honesty opens the door for intimacy. Honesty brings blessing to your family. Dads especially, dads and moms together, church leaders. You see, when you are a leader and you have followers, your decisions and your lack of decision affects everybody who follows you. And so by a dad's dishonesty, it could affect the culture of the home. And remember this, our children seem to do in excess what we do in moderation. You won't raise an honest son. You'll raise a dishonest son. And he'll be 10 times more dishonest than you. And you'll be appalled how he got there. And if you just hold up a mirror, you'll find out that the seed is coming from you. Honesty leads to an abundant life. That's not to say everybody will become worldly rich. That means that you will live with the abundant life that Jesus promised if you're completely honest. You'll find God's perfect will. You will be completely peaceful. Now remember, I think it's God's will that some don't have much of the earth stuff, but they still live an abundant life. They trust God for every next provision. They see God in everything. And then there are the righteous wealthy who live the same. And it's not a matter of what they have, it's a matter of who they trust. See? And so you will live an abundant life if you are honest. And just the opposite, dishonesty leads to alienation from God. Dishonesty will bring trouble to your family. And dishonesty leads to a life of lack. If you're dishonest, you'll never have enough. You'll always be striving for the next thing. You'll think that, you know, look what I did. Now I've got to do this. And you're on a downward spiral. You just don't know it. So today's message, what was it entitled? Honesty is the best policy. Being honest all of the time. As we apply it toward money and possessions, here's what I close with saying. Being honest all of the time is about being honest all of the time with all that you have. But as stewards, being honest all of the time and with all that you manage for God. Remember back to session one, it's not yours anyhow. It's God's. Are you managing it honestly for Him? Now last week, Pastor Jeff preached a powerful message about the slave, the borrower is a slave to the lender. And I think it has had an effect on a lot of us to say, wow, if I would have just known that 20 years ago. But I would say, now you know. Today you might say, you know, that was sort of hard-hitting. It doesn't just look at what I'm doing outwardly, it's looking at the very inside of my heart. For some here, I realize it could affect you sitting down at your desk tomorrow morning and how you fill out that form for somebody. How you answer questions on the phone. Because dishonesty has become a way of life in the business world. I realize that. But I close with just one question. What keeps you from getting honest to God today? Almighty Father, we thank You that You are a God who does not change. We thank You that You are a God who is not a combination of things. You are pure, You are holy, You are truth, You are honest all of the time. And Father, so many people struggle. And they have their official income, and then they have their under-the-table income. And Lord, they, you know, would say, I'll start tithing, and they could pick and choose which one they're going to tithe, or they can fudge it all kinds of ways in their minds. And like we learned a few weeks ago, you know, we look for loopholes. But Lord, we know that loopholes don't accomplish anything with You. And through all of our justification, through all of our excuses, through all that man believes and accepts, down deep, Your Spirit still whispers. And that whisper, you see, becomes a command. And then there's the shouting of the Spirit in our lives where we must do what is right. And we thank You, Lord, that You are a God who works like that. And we realize, Lord, that when the Word is presented and Your Spirit takes it forth, that some of us just aren't ready. We don't want to hear it again. In fact, we'll go the other way. But when we heard enough, then we might say, okay, I'll listen. And Lord, I just pray that as Your Spirit works on each of our hearts, that with our lips we can say, I want to be honest all of the time, beginning today. And then, Lord, as we take action, that we'll find freedom, intimacy with You, blessing upon our family, a boldness to witness because we've cleared our account. I pray, Father, that You would not allow us to smother what we've learned today with busyness or success. In Jesus' name.